If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, when you find your place, please stand. I'm going to read some verses out of Mark chapter 10. I'm going to just read verse 46, and then we'll pray and ask God again to be with us as we continue this service. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We'll begin reading there, and I'll just read that one verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Dear Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word again and to hear from it, Lord, to be encouraged by it. Lord, most importantly, Lord, that if there's someone sitting here today that does not know thee as Savior, Lord, if they're in the same condition as blind Bartimaeus, Lord, that they would come to know thee today as a personal Savior, Lord, that they'd have a place reserved for them in heaven. And that would be the most exciting thing to happen today. And we know that heaven will rejoice as well. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this portion of Scripture down to 11. It's dealing with a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. And he's sitting on the highway side begging. Verse 47 begins, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And I want to make an application today. This is not a new sermon for me. I've preached it before, maybe even here before, I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But it was what the Lord impressed my heart to preach again this morning, dealing with a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. He's on the highway side begging, as verse 46 says. He's out there asking for the things that he needs. He needs food, he needs clothing, he needs money, he needs these things because he's blind and he's not able to obtain them on his own. And he's leaning on the compassion of the world to give him these things. And he's out there every day, whether it's on the highway side or whether it's on the street corner somewhere else, whether it's in the center of the town on another day. It doesn't say that, but today he was out on the highway side begging. And the application I wanted to make today is the fact that we are living in a community. We're living beside Fort Hood. We live in Killeen. And regardless of where you're from, we're from communities that are full with blind Bartimaeuses. But I don't mean a physical blindness like he's suffering. Here, blind Bartimaeus could not physically see. He was not able to get around. I'm talking about a spiritual blindness that blankets our community, that blankets Fort Hood, that blankets wherever you're from. It doesn't matter. It blankets Mexico where you're going, brother. It blankets everywhere we go. Nowhere is exempt from it. There is a world of blindness that's going on out there. And these people are on the highway side of life begging. They're trying to find answers. They want to know the truth. They want to know what can fill that void inside of them. And that's what blind Bartimaeus was out there doing, trying to get his needs fulfilled. And so as we're going about our daily business and as we're going about our daily jobs, remember that just because that person is working beside us and they can see, they can walk around, they drive, they do everything they need to do, that they're actually living in blindness without the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the same needs. You see, blind Bartimaeus, when he was out on the highway side begging, there were times, I imagine, when he received a lot of things from people. It probably varied from day to day, but he probably got plenty of food on some days, clothing to keep him warm. He probably got food that filled his belly, and he had everything he needed, but it always ran out. And he always had to go back and ask for more. And that's what this world is doing. They're going out into the world and they're finding all these things that are supposed to fill this void and that are supposed to fill this emptiness, this blindness, this thing that they're trying to find an answer to. And they go out and they'll find a big paying job. That's got to be the answer to this emptiness that I've got. And they make millions and millions of dollars. But all you have to do is look at Hollywood and see there's no joy in money. There's no joy in finances. There's no joy in large bank accounts because eventually it wears off. Eventually it runs out. Eventually it stops providing joy. Or they go out and they buy a big home and a large car and a huge boat, and they think that all these material things that they surround themselves with, that's going to be the satisfaction that I need. And for a while it is. But that wears out. And they find themselves back in the same spot they were in, trying to figure out how they can fulfill this need that they have. Well, as we look at blind Bartimaeus, as we go about and see what happens in the next few verses, we see how that blind Bartimaeus was led from blindness into being able to see. And I don't mean just physically, but I mean spiritually as well. Here we've got blind Bartimaeus sitting on the highway side begging. And in verse 47 it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Thou, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He's on the highway side begging, asking for the things that he needs. And somewhere along the way, he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth that's getting ready to pass by him. Now he's blind, and again, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened, but I imagine that he's sitting there and he hears a multitude of people coming past him. He might have asked someone, he might have said, "What is this noise that's happening in front of me? Why are all these people gathering out here? Who is it that's passing by?" I don't know what it was, but nonetheless, it says he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Someone came out of that crowd and went up to him and began to tell him who was passing by. Someone began to tell him about Jesus of Nazareth, and they might have told him some of the things that they witnessed with their eyes. They might have said, "Let me tell you what he's done. I was following him over here, and there was a dead man, and he cried forth, and Lazarus came out of the grave." I don't know, maybe he said that there was a sick boy, and he heard Jesus go over there and say, "Rise up," and the sick boy was well again instantly. I don't know what he told him, but whatever he told him, it caused blind Bartimaeus to begin to cry out. Maybe it was someone giving him a personal testimony. Maybe it was someone saying, "Let me tell you what Jesus did for me along the way. Let me tell you what Jesus did when he came by me." And he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Whatever he heard, it caused him to desire Jesus. And that's my point, the first point I'd like to make. What are we telling people that want to know what's going on in this world? Are we telling them enough about Jesus to want them to desire Jesus, to want them to cry out to Jesus and say, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me"? Blind Bartimaeus heard something that changed his whole way, because it caused him to begin to cry out, and it says in the next verse, a great deal. You know, the devil wants to keep those that we work with, maybe even some that are sitting in these pews today, in a blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is in the image of God, should shine unto them." He doesn't want you to know the truth today. He does not want the light to be revealed to you today. He's happy with the condition you're in if you're lost. He's happy with the condition of Fort Hood. He is happy with the condition of Killeen. And I dare say he is very happy with the condition of most churches in America today. He does not want them changing their methods. He does not want to close the doors. As long as they stay open and as long as they teach and preach what they're doing, he's perfectly happy with them. It's a church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a church that separates themselves unto God, a church that's not ashamed to speak out against wickedness. That's the church he wants to close the doors on. That's the church where we're going to have struggles. That's the church where we're going to have trials and tribulations constantly, because there's a battle going on, a spiritual warfare. But the devil wants to keep people in blindness. You see, they don't know Proverbs. I'll read Proverbs 4:19. They don't understand what they stumble at. It's not evident to them the things they stumble over. Proverbs chapter 4:19 says this: "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." The lost person can't understand what they're tripping over. They can't understand that what they're trying to hold on to and what they're trying to cling to is what's causing them to fall. And they continue to grope at it, and they continue to grasp at it. And it's the very thing that's destroying them. And the devil is happy with that. I'm here to tell you today that I have nothing more to preach to you than Jesus Christ. Nothing else to tell you tonight. I have nothing new to preach to you other than Jesus Christ. We see blind Bartimaeus crying out because he heard about this Jesus Christ. But then we see the devil at work right away. It says in verse 48 that many charged him that he should hold his peace. There were a group of people there that were following Jesus, probably even witnessed some of the things that Jesus did. And as blind Bartimaeus understood and recognized that Jesus could do something for him, they told him to be quiet as he called out to Jesus. And that's going to happen today, I will guarantee you. Some of you here today that are in the under the voice of me preaching, and you're going to realize and understand your need of salvation, and you are not going to cry out because the devil is going to tell you to hold your peace today. He's going to tell you, don't cry out today because I'll be embarrassed to go forward in front of all these people. Don't cry out today because there'll be another day to do it. Don't cry out today because there was a time in my life when someone told me that I got saved. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to hold your peace today. But blind Bartimaeus wasn't satisfied with that. Because as all those people, and it says many charged him, as all those people sat there and told him to be quiet and maybe told him that Jesus didn't have time for him that day, that he began to cry out a great deal the more. He said, no, I got to get a hold of this Jesus. I've got to get a hold of Jesus because he's passing by me today. Listen, these people told blind Bartimaeus, they took time to leave off the following of Jesus and walk over and deal with a blind person. How much are we doing that today? We get so involved in the church work. We get so involved in all that we're supposed to do in following Jesus that we've passed right by the person who needs him the most. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. We see another incident where people realized that someone had to get to Jesus. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. It says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. In other words, it was told in the community, it was told abroad that Jesus was there in Capernaum. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. He preached about himself. That's what he preached. He told them about the Savior, who he was. Anyway, verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, these men, they had a friend. And he was sick of the palsy, and they knew that there was only one person that could help him, and that was Jesus Christ. And it was noise that he was in the town, and so they said, what we can do is we can put him on this bed and we can carry him to Jesus. And that's a good idea. But they ran into a problem. They got him on the bed. They went over to bring him to Jesus, and they met a press of people. And it stopped them. They were no longer able to go any further. And how often, as we're bringing someone to Jesus, we hit the press. We hit the wall. We hit the barrier that Satan's put up there for us. And we give up. We throw up our hands and say, I did what I could. I brought him as far as I could bring him. I'm through. But these men didn't give up there. You see, it was so important to them to get this man to Jesus that they were willing to go beyond reason, beyond the normal. You see, they climbed up on the house that didn't belong to any of them, and they broke up the roof to get this man to Jesus. And I want to wonder what we're willing to do to bring someone to Jesus. How far are we willing to go? Are we willing to go beyond that press that we hit? And you will hit a press every time you try to bring someone to Jesus. You will hit some kind of barrier, whether it's something they were taught when they were younger that stops them from understanding who Christ is, or whether it's the fear of man in your own heart. The devil will work something out so that you have difficulty bringing someone to Jesus. But we have to get past all that. We have to go beyond what's normal to bring someone to Jesus sometimes, to the extreme, if you will. But the devil tried to prevent him, back over in Mark chapter 10, from crying out. And he cried out the more a great deal. He said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He understood that Jesus could do something for him. And it says in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Jesus, now picture this with me. Jesus is walking through Jericho. It doesn't say that he was going to stop for anybody or anything. He was passing through. There was a great number of people following him, it says. And still, he was passing through. But as blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me," it caused Jesus to stand still. There was something about blind Bartimaeus' call that got Jesus to stop. And it was the fact that he was crying out in faith. He was crying out with all his desire to want to know Jesus and to want to see what Jesus could do for him. And it caused Jesus to stand still. And I can remember a day when that happened to me. I can remember a day when I was just like blind Bartimaeus. I was in a blindness called self-righteousness. You know what that is? That's when you think you're good enough to go to heaven because of who you are. That's what I thought. I thought that because I grew up going to church, I thought that because I filled the pews every Sunday with my family, that because I sang in front of the church with my family, that because I went to Bible Sunday school and learned Bible verses and did all these things, that was good enough to get me to heaven. That was the blindness I lived in. And the devil was just happy with me thinking that. He didn't mind me quoting Scripture because I didn't know what I was quoting to begin with. I understood the Scripture I was quoting, but I didn't know the God of the Scriptures. He didn't mind me quoting those because there was no power behind them in my life. You see, my wife grew up in another kind of blindness. She grew up in a blindness that dealt with ceremony and tradition. You see, if I accomplish these sacraments, if I go through and do the confession and the communion and the baptism and the holy matrimony and all these things would be steps to heaven for me. And that's what my wife believed. And the devil wasn't going to change her mind about that. He was happy with her believing that. And some of you have beliefs in here today that the devil is just happy with you keeping a hold of. Long as you believe that, you're still on your way to hell. Regardless of how many Bible verses you know, regardless of how many times you've sung a special, regardless of how many times you've been in church, if you're still trusting something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell, the Bible says. You see, blind Bartimaeus called out and Jesus stopped for him. I think of another person in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Remember the woman with the issue? Verses 43 and through 46. I'm going to go ahead and read those. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" You see, there was a lot of people there too. But Jesus wasn't moved enough to deal with any of them, it seems though. They were all there about him, thronging him, the Bible says, reaching out to him, touching him. But this one lady reached out and touched him in faith. And he said that he perceived virtue left him. He perceived that there was something different about this lady. Her reaching out to Jesus was the same way that blind Bartimaeus called out to him. It touched him enough to cause him to stop and do something. And back in 1992, I made a call like that to Jesus myself. I sat in the front row of Tabernacle Baptist Church when it was over on Elms Road. And I decided, after hearing the preaching for a while, that I was wrong. And that there was nothing good in me at all. And that all I could do was trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cried out that day, and He stood still for me. And He showed me that day how much He loved me, because He saved me that day. And He saved my wife that day. And He loves everyone in this room the same. There's not one person sitting here that God does not love and desire to want to have as a child of His. But there are some that are sitting here that are still a child of the devil. And there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing anyone else in this room can do about it except pray and ask God to move your heart. And ask the Spirit of God to cause you to see your need of a Savior. You know, Jesus still commands us to bring people to Him. We see in the next verse, or in the latter part of that same verse, It says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus could have turned around and said, Bartimaeus, I know your need. You see, Jesus knew Bartimaeus, formed him in the womb. He knew about his blindness before the world began, from the foundations of the world. He knew all this. But he turned around and he told these men to go get him instead of just crying out and saying, Be healed. And that's to show us that we're still commanded to go get men today. Jesus knows every need in this room today, every single need. He knows each and every one of you and what you need today. He knows the needs of Fort Hood, but yet he sent Brother Joe and I here to get him. He could stretch his hand over Fort Hood and save it all if he wanted to, but that's not his way. Then you'd just be a robot of his. He wants you to make a personal decision in your life to follow him. And so he commands us to go get him. It says here, they went and got him and said, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, talking about Bartimaeus, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Let me try to give you a little picture here. I'm told that in those days, blind people, beggars, whatever they might be, wore a garment that identified them as a beggar. And we know that everything that God gives us in Scripture has a purpose and a meaning for us. And I found out that by removing his garment, as he got up to go to Jesus, and it says he cast it away, what he was symbolizing was that he was leaving his problems and troubles behind. He went by faith. Because remember, he hasn't received his sight yet. But he understood and knew that when he went to Jesus, he was not coming back blind. He was not coming back the old person he was. When we go to Jesus, we have to understand that the Bible says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are not coming back that person we were before. And I hear so many times when we try to deal with someone about Jesus, they say, Well, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to do the things the Bible tells me to do. I'm not ready to do the things the church expects me to do. Well, you can't clean up good enough too. That's what Christ does in us. He causes us to be that new person. We don't make ourselves that new person. That comes from God. He cast away his garment knowing that he was going to Jesus, and he threw it away by faith. Too often we want to come to God and hold on to something we trust as well. And you can't do that. You must come to God by faith and completely by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe somewhere around verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without faith. You can't come to God with faith plus works. You can't come to God with faith plus anything else. Simply by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He cast away his garment, and he went to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 51, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Again, let me remind you, he knew exactly what blind Bartimaeus came forward for. He knew exactly what blind Bartimaeus was crying out for. But he wanted to hear it from blind Bartimaeus' mouth. He wanted blind Bartimaeus to ask him. And it's the same with everybody in this room. He knows your needs. I've already said that. But he wants you to ask him. That's what the altars are for. That's why we come down here and we kneel as Christians. We come and we say, God, this is my need. This is the problem I'm having. This is the strength I need. This is the help I need. And as lost people, we come down and we say, God, save me. I'm on my way to hell and I need to be saved. That's what the altar's for. He knows you need to be saved, but he wants you to come down and confess it. He wants you to come down and admit it and turn to Him. Repent of your sin. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, I want to see. I want to be able to see again. Or for the first time. I don't know if he was blind from birth. Verse 52 as we wrap it up here. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, blind Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to see. I want my sight. And Jesus recognized that faith that was within him that caused him to cry out and even ask him for that sight. That he believed whatever report, whatever record was given to him over in verse 47 when he heard about Jesus, he believed what he heard. And he cried out. And I believe not only We know he received his sight, but I also believe that he received his salvation, his physical sight and his spiritual sight. Because it says here, and he followed Jesus in the way. Listen, if he hadn't seen ever in his life, what do you think it was like for the first time for him to be able to open his eyes and see everything that he had never seen before? Don't you think that would have been a shocking and amazing thing? That would have been a tremendous thing. And maybe me, maybe I, maybe some of you would have, we'd have clicked our heels together and said, now I'm going to run off into the world and do all the things that I was never able to do before. I'm going to go see things that I've never been able to see before. But he didn't do that. It says he stayed with Jesus and followed him in the way. I believe that when a person truly comes to know Christ as his Savior, he will follow Jesus. He'll stay by Jesus. He might follow afar off like Peter did. We're not all perfect. There's a word in the Bible called backsliding. Pastor Hammond's read about a man who wrote that song. We're all prone. We're all able to do that. None of us are exempt from it. But the point is we will follow, even if it's afar off. When a person has no desire to be in church, when a person has no desire to read the Word of God, when they have no desire to be around fellow Christians, I have a problem with that. Because a tree is known by its fruits. And if that fruit's not producing, if that tree's not producing, if that tree has no evidence of being what it claims to be, then I have to question that. And I'm not God, I can't know that. But there are some things that are evident in a Christian's life, whether they're far off or nearby Jesus, that we can see. And my plea to you today is, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, to recognize that you're no different than blind Bartimaeus. You are no different than him sitting on the highway side trying to find the things that he needed and still not finding them, no matter what was given to him. In spiritual blindness, you're out there trying to find from the world, whether it's through movies or television or relationships or money or jobs, whatever it might be, you're trying to find the answer to happiness, and you'll never find it there. It'll be temporary. You'll find it for a moment. But there's always pleasure in sin for a season. You'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's passing by today. He promised that where two or more were gathered in His name, that He'd be in the midst. And there are certainly more than two people here gathered in His name, and He is in the midst. And I'm going to ask you to listen to the Spirit of God today as we make an invitation to listen and obey that still small voice that's telling you, you need to be saved.